It is January the 5th. It isn't trade deadline day, but you could have fooled me. I thought I'd probably have one or two trades to discuss, just some small moves, but we've had some movement. We also had 11 games of NBA basketball, so strap yourself in because this is probably going to be a pretty long show. This is the Wednesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Remember to go and pre-like the trade deadline show, which could end up just being a recap of what I'm about to talk about. There will be more moves before the deadline tomorrow. We can almost guarantee ourselves of that. But we do have some trades. We've had people going everywhere. Even just then, I went to pick up my daughter from the bus and Mark Williams got traded. So that was great. All right, let's share my screen and get into these trades. Now, of course, these are all pending, I suppose, because we don't know if teams are finished moving players, adding players, removing players. So this is purely based on what is in front of us right now. We'll start with this one. Now, ESPN, I don't think, have even updated their draft tracker to include the Mark Williams trade. So we will do that trade, but we'll just work through their draft tracker first because this will be a way of keeping me on track. Jimmy Butler finally got his wish. He is on his way out of Miami, headed to Golden State. A lot of moving pieces in this one. Four teams involved. Summary is up there in front of you. The Warriors get Jimmy Butler. Pretty simple. Miami, PJ Tucker, Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a first-round pick. Detroit get Lindy Waters and Josh Richardson. Utah get Dennis Schroeder. So let's start at the top. Let's start with the Warriors. Jimmy Butler, look, I don't know if I'm going to call this a bump, but he will play. So in terms of just being active, this is a bump because he will be on the court. What does it do for, look, it clears up some of that backlog in the backcourt. So we are, and we'll talk about their game today. Obviously, Jimmy Butler didn't play today, but we had a very nice performance from Brandon Pajemski. This clears the way for Brandon Pajemski to play a bigger role, I would assume. Buddy Hield is probably, they're all just going to have to do a bit more. They still don't have a center, really, not a reliable one anyway, so It's interesting. I would assume the acquisition of Jimmy Butler sort of tells me that they want to win, and we've talked about the fact that their Steph Curry window is 2 years. Jimmy Butler fits that. He's signed a two-year, probably a contract that's stupidly overpriced, but a two-year, roughly $120 million deal. So that is their timeline, 2 years, maybe three. They're not going to do it without a center. So if I don't know whether they're sort of saying, okay, this year we're really, really not in with a shot. Next year, let's come back with Steph, with Jimmy Butler, with Jonathan Kuminga, although he could certainly be on the way out as well. So I'm not sure they're done making moves here, but as we see it now, Buddy Hield, Brandon Pajemski, probably Moses Moody, all play a little bit more. Pajemski would be the guy I would be targeting there for sure. Everywhere else, I mean, Miami, I guess Wiggins will just come into the Butler spot, but Butler hadn't been playing. So he is going to take some value away from guys like Nikola Jovic primarily. potentially Khalil Ware, only because they can play Wiggins at the four. They can shift Bam up to the five a little bit. I still think Ware is pretty clearly a must-roster player, but maybe just shave a little bit off the top for him. And just having Wiggins there is going to take the ball out of Tyler Hero's hands, Duncan Robinson. So they probably all lose a little bit on what they've been doing the last month, let's say. Jovic, I know people are not panicking necessarily, but questioning what Jovic's role is going to be. I think he'll be okay. Again, shave a little bit off the top. But to me, it's probably Hayward Highsmith that loses out here. He probably goes back to like a 10, 12-minute role. Jaime Jaquez hovers around where he is, minutes in the low 20s. Jovic, I think, still will get minutes in the high 20s, 26, 28, maybe 30. So the upside is not as high, but I think he's still a must-roster player. Rozier, look, he wasn't must-roster anyway, and I don't see any way he will be must-roster now. As for Wiggins, his value probably hovers around the same. I don't think there'll be a massive shift for him here. He comes from playing alongside Steph to Tyler Hero. Now, Bam is a little bit more of a higher usage front court player, so maybe Wiggins takes a very small hit here, but nothing significant. Detroit, Lindy Waters, Josh Richardson, nothing really there for me. And Utah get Dennis Schroeder. I'm not sure he sticks around there. It would make zero sense for them to play him over Isaiah Collier, Keontae George. Sexton is obviously out, and Clarkson started today for whatever reason. So, look, maybe he plays, but I wouldn't be surprised if they move him on. All right, this trade was a fairly late one as well. An hour and a half ago, the Pelicans finally trading Brandon Ingram to the Raptors there. This was almost preempted half an hour before it actually happened. Brandon Ingram was on the bench for the Pelicans, and then he wasn't. So things like that always tend to mean something is happening. He will head to Toronto. The Pelicans get back Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, a first-round pick and a second-round pick in next year's draft. All right, what does it mean for... Let's start with the Pelicans. What does it mean for the Pelicans? Brandon Ingram had not been playing. So basically, don't worry about him. What does it do for the value of the other players remaining with Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk coming? I'm not sure either of them stick around here. Again, where they're positioned in the standings, it makes zero sense for them to play them. I think Kelly Olynyk's on an expiring deal, maybe. So they may not be done. They may use them as part of a deal tomorrow. Trey Murphy, lock him in. Eve Misi, we're locking him in, obviously, with Tice move this morning. Carlo Matkovic played. He started and played today. Now, if Olynyk, I actually don't mind Olynyk on this team if they want to play him. I think he's a fun addition to a team that doesn't care about winning. But I'm not sure they will do it. So I think I still like Matkovic. I'm not really changing my thoughts too much here. Just based on the fact that I don't think Bruce Brown or Kelly Olynyk will be sticking around. For the Raptors, a bit of a weird move. Getting in a guy that is certainly not a picture of health. He's not old, but he's not young. Does he fit their timeline? I guess to some degree he does. RJ Barrett's 26, Brandon Ingram's 27, Emmanuel Quickley's 23, and Scotty Barnes is 24. So he's in the vicinity anyway. Look, he'll obviously, with him coming in and assuming he's healthy, which there's a chance that he is healthy. He injured that ankle a long time ago. Grady Dick, huge downgrade here because he will probably just move to the bench. Now, this is assuming they're healthy. They haven't been healthy all season. So he could come in and out of the starting lineup, but in terms of a consistent starting role, it's not going to happen. Ochai Agbaji, Jacoby Walter, all these guys take a hit. But again, injuries will happen here almost undoubtedly. And are they done making moves? We don't know that either. We don't know what they sort of think long-term here, the Raptors. Long-term this season, I mean. For Ingram, I mean, it's probably per game a slight hit maybe. Although playing for the Pelicans, he had CJ there. He had DeJounte, not for very long. He had DeJounte, he had Zion. So, I mean, you could argue that those three, in terms of usage, are comparable to Emmanuel Quickley, Scotty Barnes, and RJ Barrett. So, I think it's probably just a shift across for Brandon Ingram, more so than an up or down kind of a trajectory. Did we talk about the Bucks? I think we talked about the Bucks trade this morning. Pretty sure we did. Jericho Sims was added into that. He will go to Milwaukee. That's interesting because Bobby Portis often plays backup center. He's not a center. Does Jericho Sims come in here and play the backup behind Brook Lopez? And that would impact Bobby Portis? Maybe. Not to the point where I'd be going and dropping Portis just yet. But if Portis is going to play purely backup four and only play 18 minutes a night, he would be a drop. And not much else. I mean, DeLon Wright to the Knicks, he gives them some guard depth, but they don't use their depth, so it really doesn't matter. Now, I think the Valanciunas trade actually happened just after my show this morning, if I'm not mistaken. It's remembering all the way back, but I'm seeing all the questions in here, which is great. We will get to them. What happens to Valanciunas? Well, he moves over to Sacramento. Maybe we did talk about it. I don't know. Anyway, his value doesn't change, pretty simply. He will play backup behind Domantas Sabonis. He will play 20 minutes a night. He will give you 11 points, 8 rebounds, maybe a block. If Sabonis gets injured, we look at Valanciunas. But other than that, I don't think there will be enough there for him. For the Wizards, with Valanciunas gone, Alex Saar gets a bump. Tristan Vukcevic gets a bump. He played today, I believe. We'll have a look when we get in there. I'm pretty sure he did. And I think we did talk about that because that sounds familiar, what I'm saying there. Now let's talk about... Yeah, it's not in there yet. Let's talk about the... I'll just move that over. Yep. Let's talk about the most recent trade, which was the Mark Williams trade. Assuming nothing else has happened, which it hasn't. It doesn't look like it has. All right, where are we? Shams. There we go. So, yes, happened 45 minutes ago. Mark Williams to the Lakers. Now, he was not one of the centers we were speculating about. The Lakers have done a good job to get him here. They didn't have to give up too much. Cam Reddish, doesn't matter. They gave up a couple of first rounders way in the future, a 2031 unprotected first round pick and a 2030 pick swap. And Dalton Kennett. So the Hornets clearly building for the future here, getting rid of, he was their franchise center. They'd move Nick Richards to clear a path for Mark Williams. They then move Mark Williams to clear a path for Musa Diabate. I don't know. For Mark Williams, this is absolutely a bump because he will play. The question, assuming he's healthy, he will play. The question was, does he sit back-to-backs? Do they just give him random rest? Does he get managed? That will not happen in Los Angeles. If he's healthy and ready to go, which he has proven he is, then he is going to play. He is going to look. Maybe they do sit him back to backs, at least for a little bit. But he's certainly going to play more than he was in Charlotte. So I think this is absolutely a bump for Mark Williams. Now he's not available anywhere. So if you have him, it's just a happy day for you. And let's, I guess, staying with the Lakers, J. Jackson Hayes is a drop. We don't need to be holding Jackson Hayes anywhere. For the Hornets, they lose their starting center. So Musa Diabate is, I presume, the starting center, but are they done? I don't see him as a starting center in the NBA. He's a good rebounder, but he has zero offensive upside. But I don't think the Hornets care at this point. So maybe they are just going to run him out there. It's not Taj Gibson. We know that. So I guess we're just adding Diabate based on this. I would say wait until after the deadline tomorrow, just in case there's another move that comes. But in the meantime, Diabate will probably be added. So if you just need rebounds and defensive stats, I would give him a look. With Thornton Connect coming in, I think he probably starts for them. I don't see why they would be trading for him if they weren't going to start him. Interesting fit. I mean, we've seen flashes from Connect this season. It hasn't been super encouraging, but there have been moments. So the Hornets are just going to give him a runway here to see what he can do playing alongside LaMelo Ball. When LaMelo is back, I think Nick Smith takes a bit of a hit here. Because I think he moves back to the bench. I don't think they move Josh Green to the bench. I think it will be Nick Smith. But they could go with LaMelo, Connect, and Nick Smith with Miles Bridges and Musa Diabate. There's a few ways this could go. So I would hold Nick Smith for now because LaMelo is still out. Remember that. So hold him. Micić, probably hold him as well until we figure out where they're going with this. But I think for me, it's Diabate is the guy we want to be looking at there. And Cam Reddish, I don't think they're going to do anything with him, so I wouldn't worry too much. Let's have a look at... just checking messages, just checking... any breaking news, anything like that? Nothing that I can see. All right, let's have a look at some questions just very quickly, and then we will get into the games. All right, we'll start with P Dub. You were offered Reeves for Hartenstein. Thoughts? My thoughts are it's an offer. Would you take that offer? Look, I mean, very different players. I know this is always sort of the cop-out kind of answer, but very different in terms of what they're bringing you here. Do you need rebounds? Do you need field goal percentage with some blocks? Or do you need points, threes, and some assists? Very different. Overall value? Hartenstein, I think, is probably the slightly better... option there. But again, if you are okay in the big man department, I'd be okay with taking Reeves on there. Lone Dez, is Kelly Olynyk a must roster after this trade? I don't think so. Like I said, I'm not sure they keep him around. If they do, then I also don't think he starts. I don't think they're going to bring Kelly Olynyk and start him over Eve Nisi. Just given that they are whatever they are in the standings, near the bottom. Would I pick up Keyshawn George or Bub Carrington? I don't think so, no. Let me just bring up... I know they were good today. They were against Brooklyn. I wouldn't be prioritising them. I mean, they have had opportunities all season and haven't really done a lot with them. So, yeah, I don't think I'd be prioritising. All right, Joseph, wondering about my thoughts on this trade-off from yesterday, now knowing that Buzelis is starting. Mobley, Buzelis, Cam Thomas, or Josh Hart, Jared Allen, and you're a Bulls fan. Okay. Who would I rather there? Cam Thomas is the question mark for me. Just we don't know what the Nets are doing here. I think he'll come back and just play. He's not gonna accidentally cause them to start winning. So I think Mobley's the best player there over Josh Hart, over Jarrett Allen, over Cam Thomas, over Bezelis. Look, I'd be okay with that trade. I think it's fair. So if you're a Bulls fan and you want to get Bezelis on your team, Cam Thomas could be huge down the stretch. So there is some upside there. What else have we got? So Joseph, your guess is Mark Williams loses out on a per game basis. Yeah, look, he probably does. Just because they have Austin Reeves and LeBron James and Luka Doncic, but imagine how many dunks he's going to get, how many lobs. So he probably loses out per game, but plays more. So I think he's still a winner. Yes, I am aware, Alex, that this is going to be a long show. I do need to go and pick up my daughter from tennis in about 50 minutes. So 45 would be better. We'll see how we go. Cookie Monster, I do know you have Mark Williams and Luka Doncic, so you are good. Is Mark still a second rounder per game beast, 18 and 10? Look, rebounds will be fine. Offense will be up and down. He will, like I said, he's going to get a lot of good looks at the basket. He's not just going to get free reign to go and score 25 points. So he won't have the offensive upside that we've seen in Charlotte, but I think he'll still be really steady. Ingram trade makes no sense. It is a bit weird. Yes, thanks, Matt. Sleep is overrated. I'll get some tonight, but I'm going to be up stupidly early in the morning. Aditya, should you drop Nick Richards to pick up Nick Smith? If you have Goga, Claxton, Kessler, Giannis, Yabusele, yes, I would be fine. I know I said Nick Smith is going to take a hit here, but he may not. They may still start him, and we don't know when LaMelo's back. So, yeah, Nick Richards has been pretty bad. I still think he's probably a hold, but there's basically zero upside. So I'd be okay taking Nick Smith there. I don't think you're going to, especially with that lineup of bigs there. Nick Smith or Buddy Hield? Oh. Again, probably Nick Smith, I think. Buddy, I know he does get a bump here with the Warriors offloading some pieces, but he's been pretty bad this year, so I'm not convinced that he's not going to turn things around. Monk did get 24 minutes and 11 shots. He was in foul trouble. We will get to that game. Should we be worried about Malik Monk? No, we will get to that. Shining Knight wondering if Diabate is a pickup. I think he is, as I said, at this point right now, yes. That might change in 14 hours. Goga did pass 20 minutes. The minutes restrictions are increasing, which is what we thought might happen. Does Saar get a bump? Look, he just gets a bump in terms of a assured role. So, I mean, I don't think there was really much doubt, actually. So it's more of a bump in that, okay, rest of season, he'll be fine, which, again, we were probably under that assumption anyway. How would I rank these pickups, Hini Mini, for a punt, free throw percentage, and threes team? Carlo, Pods, Keon, Musa, punting, free throws, and threes. Well, if you're punting those categories, I would move away from Keon and Pajemski. Carlo is interesting. He started today alongside Zion and Misi. He got some blocks. He looked all right. He played 28 minutes. We'll have a look at it. I know it was minutes in the high 20s. I might go Carlo, maybe. Musa, I mean, I know Musa is good and could play a lot of minutes, but he's pretty much one category, rebounds. Defense is decent enough. He's efficient, but he just doesn't shoot the ball. So if we're purely looking at, I guess, just who would I add here, if we were forgetting about the punting part of the question, I would probably add Pajemski first. I'm still not sold on Keon. I know Dan Bespris has come out and said he is, and we'll talk about this on the show tomorrow. I'm not as convinced. So I might go Pajemski, Carlo, Keon Musa. But again, it really does depend on what you need. Is Connect a 12-team add? Look, you know what he's going to do. He's going to be points and threes, nothing else. If that fits, he could play 34 minutes. So if you think that that's going to help your team, then yeah, I think that would be okay, at least until Ball is back. Who is worthy of a pickup in a 7-7 team points league? Diabate or Saar? We go Saar. I get this question pretty regularly, actually. So Taylor asks, how many players on the same team is too many? You now have four Heat players. Do I drop one of Ware or Wiggins to diversify? Four is a lot. I'm usually happy with 2 to 3. Obviously, this is the result of a trade. You want to have a look at, like, they're all starting. Do they cut into each other's value? I guess Bam and Ware, you could say they do a little bit. But I think, they're all pretty clear must roster players, all probably top 80 players. But if you wanted to move one of them, I was going to say Ware might be the one you want to try and move, because I think with Wiggins coming in, maybe he takes a small bump, but he didn't play well today, so it's not a good day to try and move him. I think I'm okay with four, but I would rather 3. All right, let's get through these so I can get to the games. Alex, my team's playoff chances have flipped in days. Luca, 12 games. Mark Williams, no shutdown. Bilal and Saar picked up this morning, good ads. Traded Hartenstein for DeMar DeRozan, Chet still to come. Yeah, it has been a very wild deadline, just in terms of timing, I think. Matt Carmody, would I burn an ad on Pajemski, Bub, Kispert or Goga? I would be dropping Dylan Brooks. I'm absolutely fine dropping Dylan Brooks. I'd have Goga over Dylan Brooks quite comfortably. I'd probably have Pajemski over him as well. Kispert, I'm not so sure. Bub, maybe. I'd certainly have Goga and Pajemski over him. What have we got here? Another one from Alex. How does Brandon Ingram impact existing Raps players? He is an impact. He's another offensive-minded player. So he takes a little bit away from all of them, but we haven't actually seen all of them healthy very often. And yeah, so I think he certainly impacts them, but I wouldn't go making any moves based off this. Any players that I'd pick up right now in a 12-team nine-cap league based on the trades made so far? Who did we talk about? Diabate, Connect, Pajemski. I'm going to have to bring the trades up again, aren't I? Or I'm going to miss one. Let's go back through. If Jovic is dropped, I would consider adding him. Matkovic might be another one. And the Mark, Diabate, I talked about him. I'd be, dropping Jackson Hayes. Yeah, that's probably some that I can think of off the top of my head. Nick Zaid or Zade? I don't know. It might be Zaid. I'm going to say Zaid. It sounds better. Should I drop Ware or Goga for Diabate or just hold them? No, I would not. Only because I think Ware and Goga have top 50 upside. I don't think Diabate does. I know he's going to play a lot, but he might score like 6 or 8 points a game. Would I go, here we go. Would I go Saar over Goga, Beal, Vassell, Hartenstein? I don't think I'd take him. I think him and Goga are probably pretty close. Saar will hurt your field goal percentage a little more though. So if you're looking for more of a traditional big, I'd still lean Goga. I'd probably take Hartenstein over him. Vassell was good today. I talked about, I gave my thoughts on Vassell, and I will continue to do so when we get to the games, if we get to the games. I'd probably consider him over Beal as well. So I think I'd have, I don't know, they're all sort of in that top 80 range. So probably comes down a little bit to need. I'd have Goga over him if you want more traditional bigs. Hartenstein I would have over him, I think. Vassell, Beal, you could make a case if you need blocks. Who do I like rest of season, Collier or Scoot? I like them both. Who would I rather? It's pretty tough at the moment. I mean, Collier's playing well. I might lean Scoot just, but it's pretty close. Pretty close. Ware or Diabate, I would go Ware. What do I think happens with Reeves? Do I think he's moved? No, I don't think so. I mean, I didn't think Mark Williams would be moved. I didn't think Luca would be moved. Even New Valanciunas would be moved. Didn't really see Middleton being moved. We assumed Ingram would be moved. We just hadn't heard much about it. So you never know. They might. He is a little bit now. He's absolutely not useless, but I just mean what he brings to the table now. They don't need as much with Luka and LeBron there. Reeves is also a little bit older. He's sort of in between. So Lakers have done a really good job here. They've created themselves, I think, two windows. They've got a two-year window now with LeBron, bringing in Luka, Mark Williams. Reeves fits that timeline. Their next timeline, which is in maybe 5 years or six, when Luka is in his early 30s, Mark Williams will still be very good at that point. Reeves doesn't necessarily fit that. So I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see what the Lakers do, but they've done a very good job so far, which I hate. all right, let's get to some games because we have a lot to talk about. And we will fly through these. I've got about half an hour, so I think we'll get there. I need to have some water first, and I need to check that there have been no more trades. No more Shams tweets. No, we're good to go. Milwaukee at Charlotte. And I have to remember who won all these games too, don't I? The Bucks won this one, I think, 112 to 102. Bobby Portis started with Giannis out. So what I said about Bobby Portis before, playing backup four with... Oh, who did the Bucks get, man? Oh, Jericho Sims, that's right. So, yeah, I'm not sure what happens there. Hold Bobby Portis. He was very good. He always is when Giannis is out. Torian Prince, we're not looking at him, or Andre Jackson, or I think AJ Green was moved, wasn't he? Anyway, not really looking at any of those bench guys. For Charlotte, we know there's moves incoming. Mark Williams actually wasn't good tonight, 6 and 5, 2 assists, so one of his poorer performances. But we can pencil, put a line through his name. Moussa Diabate will come in. He had 10 and 13 tonight in his 23 minutes. He will plug, well, assuming, again, he stays and plays as starting center, he probably gets 28 to 30 minutes. The rebounds, I've said, will be very good. Points will be hit or miss. I mean, he got to the line 8 times. He only attempted 2 field goal attempts. Didn't get you a steal, didn't get you a block. So it's going to be up and down. And Nick Smith, three good games in a row, 23 points, two assists. I'm just not sure they want to pull him from that starting lineup. So, yeah, we'll see how this all fits together when LaMelo is back and when Connect arrives. But the Hornets are certainly building an interesting young core here with a lot of pieces, a lot of trade pieces and draft pieces and things like that. Cleveland at Detroit. Cleveland get the win on a Darius Garland logo three-pointer. Poor Detroit. Nothing really to talk about when it comes to Cleveland. They haven't made any moves. Nothing changes. Donovan Mitchell was out. Caris LeVert gave you 0 points. Hopefully you didn't waste a pickup on him tonight. Craig Porter, out of nowhere, 16 points. We've seen him do this before. But I'm not adding him, Ty Jerome, anything like that. Donovan Mitchell will be back, I assume, for the next game. For Detroit, we got a pretty solid Asar Thompson game, 12 and 8, 3 assists, 3 steals. Tobias Harris left this game with a leg injury. Does he miss time? I don't know. If he misses time, we will see a little bit more of Asar Thompson. And I mean, Kate's doing enough already, not much more he can do. Tim Hardaway actually outplayed Malik Beasley in this one. I would still rather have Malik Beasley. Duren, I benched him tonight. I didn't think he'd have a fantastic game. He was solid, but not great. 8 and 10 with a steal and a block. Yeah, look, I think we're watching Tobias here. If he misses time, Beasley would probably come into the starting lineup. And maybe we see a little bit more of Simone Fontecchio off the bench. He could even start, to be fair. They may go with him as a starter. All right, Spurs at Atlanta. First look at De'Aaron Fox as a San Antonio Spur. It was Stephon Castell who moved back to the bench. We weren't sure what they were going to do. Chris Paul was, I think he was doubtful initially, and then he was upgraded to questionable, and he ended up playing. Let's start with Castell. 11 points, 3 assists, a steal in 20 minutes off the bench. If this is what he's going to get, drop him. He's not worth it. This was the worry. As I've said, I think Jeremy Sochan is important to this team. His minutes were up. He had 15, 4, and 2 with a steal in 27 minutes. So that is the most he's played since returning. Good signs. He is a hold, I think. I know some people have said he's a drop. I think he's a hold. Devin Vassell, I said, despite the fact that Fox was coming in, I don't mind his upside because I think he will get better looks at the basket. His efficiency could go up. He's still going to play 32, 34, 36 minutes. He had 34 here, 20 points, 4 assists, 4 steals on 9 of 18 shooting. So hopefully you didn't move on from him. I'm sure you didn't. Wemby had 24 and 12 with a block. Yeah, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. De'Aaron Fox, 24 and 13, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 threes. All right, we're good to go. Apparently, he fitted in here very well. Chris Paul started as well and had 11 and 9. Didn't get you any steals. If Chris Paul is going to play 30 minutes a night, he is a hold. I do still think Jeremy Sochan pushes to 30 minutes, whether that is a starter or coming off the bench, I'm not sure. I would have him in there over Harrison Barnes, but I understand the hesitation given Sochan's inability to space the floor. Chris Paul is not a huge floor spacer. He did hit 3 threes here. I'm not sure which way they go, but I do think Sochan gets to 30 minutes at some point. For Atlanta, career high 30 points for Onyeka Okongwu. He had 12 rebounds. He had a block. Very, very clear must roster player rest of season. Reese Ishay cooled off, and this is the issue with him when he's not shooting the ball well. He does nothing else. I would still probably hold, but only 23 minutes. Hold, but it's not. It's upside's not super high. DeAndre Hunter. 22, look, this is like a month's worth of other production. 22 and 10, 5 assists, 2 steals. I would absolutely have him over Zachary Risacher, but he can be a little bit empty, as we know. Dyson Daniels, very good again, 19-8-7 with two steals. Those rebound numbers continue to rise with no Jalen Johnson. Trae Young had 32-12, 9 turnovers. We can ignore that. Hopefully you're punting turnovers or you don't care about them. So another good game from him. Krejci went back to 19 minutes, 5-5-2. If this is what they're going to do, if the minutes are going to be up and down, he's a drop. Larry Nance, 17 minutes, that's not enough. He is a drop. Memphis at Toronto, comfortable win for the Grizzlies. We had no Desmond Bane, obviously. Zach Edey started 13-15, 2 blocks. That's a few good games in a row for him, so just hold him and enjoy it. Brandon Clark also played and had a solid outing, 13-5 with a steal and a block. I think he's a back-end hold. I've got him in 2 or 3 teams, but in those leagues I'm punting points, threes, assists, and free throws. So he's a very good fit in those builds. He also has forward eligibility, which I like. Jalen Wells, 7 points. We can just move on from him. I think Kennard, who was playing well about 3 weeks ago, we can move on from him because we do have Bane to come back at some point. Marcus Smart played. He didn't do anything. Don't need to be adding him. Aldama. And I mean, this is the issue with the Grizzlies now. They're so deep that it's hard to trust anyone on the bench. GG Jackson had a nice performance, but only 21 minutes. If you want to take a flyer, you could do that. But, yeah, this value, this production is going to be very up and down. For the Raptors, not a great night for the Raptors. And as we know, with Brandon Ingram coming in, things are going to change. We don't know how healthy he is or when he's going to make his debut. Grady Dick will take a hit. He was okay tonight, 13-7, but he will drop out of the standard league discussion, I think. Kelly Olynyk, who has been moved, Bruce Brown, who has been moved, so we don't need to worry about those guys. If Jakob Poeltl is still out, oh man, they're going to have to go small. They don't even have Bruce Brown there to play as a small ball center. So I guess we're going to get Orlando Robinson. Fernando, is he still even on this team? I don't even know if he is. Anyway, I guess it's Orlando Robinson if Poeltl is out in the next game. I like his fantasy game. If he somehow comes out and plays 28 minutes, he'll be a sneaky pickup until Poeltl is back. Jacoby Walter, he was fine here. Again, when Ingram's back, takes a hit. But for now, Barrett still out in the concussion protocol. We don't know how long he is out. Walter seems like the beneficiary there over Agbaji. All right, Miami versus Philadelphia. Good win for the Heat. All the wins are good for Heat at the moment. Highsmith, forget about him. I mean, he's not doing anything as a starter and he's not going to start. Wiggins will slot straight into that role there. Duncan Robinson is just a 3-point streamer, nothing more. Khalil Ware, like I said, not a good night for him. 13 rebounds are good, but 0 blocks, 0 steals, 0 points. 19 minutes. Bad matchup. Forget about it. Move on. Not move on in terms of dropping. Just try to forget this performance and then move on to that next performance. Jovic, 37 minutes, 23 points, 7 assists, 1 block. I think they need to keep him out there. So, like I said, if he was dropped, I would consider picking him up. If you have him, I would hold him. Rozier had 20 points, which is nice for Terry Rozier. Do we hold? Do we add? I don't think so, not at this point. For Philly, who have been pretty quiet on the trade front, there was no Embiid. Paul George returned, didn't do much, but he returned. 32 minutes, 9 points, 2 assists. The 3 steals and a block are nice here, but Paul George's slightly underwhelming season continues. With George back, we only got 24 minutes of Justin Edwards. You could hold him for another game. Who knows if Paul George actually plays. Embiid will probably come back, though, which will mean Yabusele could shift down to the 4. It will depend who they play. Because Oubre won't be moving out of the starting lineup. Maxey won't, George won't. So it'll be one of Edwards or Yabusele. If it's Edwards, he would be a drop. If it's Yabusele, you could hold him. I think he's still going to play meaningful minutes here. especially while Drummond is out. Right, 20 minutes. We're getting through them. Washington at Brooklyn. What a spectacle this was. Wizards get the win, 119 to 102. There was no Alex Sarr. He was out, then he was in, then he was out. They go with Rashawn Holmes as the starter, so dust him off, roll him out there. 9 points, a block. I'd still much rather Vucevic. I would rather them start him. He had 12 and 6 in his 19 minutes. Sarr, I would assume if he was that close today, is very close to returning. So if he comes back in, Holmes will likely just go out of the rotation and Vucevic will stick in that 18 to 20 minute role, I would think. Koulibaly had 11, 10 and 11. Very random triple-double with two steals and a block. Production is really up and down, but he is a very clear... Of all of these guys, other than Jordan Poole, he's a very clear must-roster player. Jordan Poole had 19 points, had 8 assists, had a steal. Much better from him. Keyshawn George, Bud Carrington both played north of 30 minutes. Would I be adding them? Like I said earlier, I'm not rushing to add them. This was against Brooklyn, so you've always got to add about 20-25% to anyone when they play Brooklyn. Kispert had 17 points off the bench. Still more of a streamer. I don't think they're going to prioritize him to the point where he is or needs to be added for more than a handful of games. For Brooklyn, I've said they're a team that I'm completely avoiding, and this is why. Good luck predicting this rotation on a nightly basis. Cam Johnson returned 17 points, nothing else. He's a hold. He's a must-roster player. We haven't heard anything about him being traded for the last sort of 48 hours. Zaire Williams, 4 points in 18 minutes. Nick Claxton, 5 points in his 23 minutes. Bring on Dayron Sharpe. Please bring on Dayron Sharpe. Keon Johnson had a nice night, 25 points, two steals. He is probably the most consistent of these starters at the moment, but that could change. D'Angelo Russell, I mean, is he just going through the motions here? 5 points, two assists in 16 minutes. Is he a drop? He might be a drop. It's pretty close. He must just be sad. He must just cry himself to sleep every night, I think. Ebwoma had 15 off the bench. Ben Simmons played, you wouldn't know it, 4 points, six assists, a steal. We don't need to be holding him. So the only guys I think I'm holding here, Cam Johnson, Nick Claxton, Keon Johnson, and Dayron Sharpe as a stash. Well, a stash, but I think he's doing enough. Chicago at Minnesota. Good win for the Wolves, 127 to 108. The Bulls, they went with their Matis Buzelis in the starting lineup. We will assume he has been added everywhere. If for whatever reason he has not been added, go and add him. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Didn't hit a 3, but 29 minutes, so we're good to go on him, I think. As we are with Dosunmu, there was no Lonzo here. He was just out. It's just precautionary. He signed a 2-year, $20 million deal with the Bulls, so teams were looking, hunting for him. We were aware of that. The Bulls signed him to, I think, twofold here. It's a good deal for Lonzo, given what he's been through the last few years, but also a good deal for the Bulls because it's a very team-friendly contract. If he plays well, it's a bargain. He's also a really good trade chip as well on a $20 million deal for 2 years. So there would still be a lot of teams interested in him and they could move him very easily if they do want to upgrade at some point. Patrick Williams had 8 points, two steals and a block, 25 minutes. We are not looking at him. Oh, and Josh Giddey, he was fine. I always get questions about him, so I'll just mention him. For the Wolves, Jaden McDaniels, look, he cooled off a bit. Hopefully this is not the start of a downward slide, 12 and 8, one block. Still has to be held, I think. Naz Reid, he's just going to churn out numbers while Julius Randle is out. Gobert had 10 and 15 with three steals and three blocks. He's been very good of late. Mike Conley, 8 and 9, just a assists streamer. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 26 minutes, 12 and 3. He is also just a stream. Would I rather Conley? Yeah, it's pretty close. I'm sure there's someone else on your waiver wire better than both of them, to be fair. All right, Golden State at Utah. We're getting there. What do we got? 4 games left. 15 minutes. I think we'll get there, won't we? For the Warriors, we talked about Pajemski. 40 minutes, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 threes. Going at him. Jimmy Butler is going to come in here. It makes absolute sense to start Pajemski. I don't know whether they will. Curry will obviously start. Draymond will start. Do they start Draymond at center and just run a lot of small ball? They could do that. I know Buddy Hield is in the starting lineup for his floor spacing. He potentially holds on to that role. I'd much rather Pajemski there. So, yes, it's not 100% guaranteed that Pajemski is going to be this big winner, but I think he will be. Buddy Hield is probably a winner, but again, I'd rather Pajemski. Hield had 18 points in this one. He had a steal and a block with 4 threes. So he's fine. If he's sort of the best available, you could go and add him. For the Jazz, no Colin Sexton. We know that. But they started Jordan Clarkson, not Keontae George, so a little bit surprising. But I sort of get it. I guess they're trying to get the ball in Collier's hands a little bit more as the lead point guard. If you have Keontae George on the court, he's probably not as good off ball as Jordan Clarkson. So, but we don't know if Clarkson is going to stick around here. So, yeah, this could change again. Collier had a really good game, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, must roster player. Clarkson, if he's playing and playing big minutes, has to be rostered. Keontae George, despite coming off the bench, 26 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. He's been playing well, so we make sure he is rostered. Kessler had 15 and 18 with 3 blocks. Very, very Walker-Kessler line. Mikhailuk got the start with Lauri Markkanen. He had 10, 5 and 4. John Collins, another productive night for him. So we're holding Collins, Kessler, Collier, Clarkson, George. Sexton, if you can put him in an IR spot. And obviously Markkanen. It doesn't seem like we're there yet with Sensabaugh, Filipowski. So we will see what they do before the deadline tomorrow. New Orleans at Denver. Pretty comfortable win here for the Nuggets. 144 to 119. Let's start with the Pelicans. Matkovic, we talked about him. He started 30 minutes, 10 and 9, 2 blocks, 1 steal. They're sort of playing him out of position a bit here, but they don't care. So if he's going to play 30 minutes a night, then I think he has to be rostered. It will be inconsistent. He has barely played this season, so he's going to get tired. He's going to hit a wall at some point, but I think he should be rostered. Misi, 12, 6 and 2, no blocks. Must roster player, though. Trey Murphy, I mean, we look at this and go, he probably cooled off a little bit here. 25 points, 9 assists. Very interesting 9 assists with no point guard now. CJ is not a point guard. Do they just try to get the ball in Trey Murphy's hands? Because if they do, then that adds another layer to his fantasy game, which is already very, very appealing. So something to monitor there. There obviously was no... can't even think of his name. Alvarado, who was out here. So keep that in the back of your mind. But, yeah, it is an interesting wrinkle. Hawkins came off the bench, had 15 points. He is your 3-point streamer. But once Alvarado is back, we probably want to have him. For Denver, I said pretty comfortable win. Aaron Gordon, I don't think he's a must-roster player. He had 12 assists, steal and a block. But he doesn't do enough nightly for me. Jokic, casual, 38, 8 and 10, steal and a block, perfect from the line, 5 threes. It's fun having him on a roster. I've never really had him, but I've got him in 2 leagues this year, and, man, he's just fun. You know you're going to get big numbers on a nightly basis. Julian Strouther had 10 points in 24 minutes. I do think he is a soft hold here while Westbrook is out. I think he's okay. Christian Brown had 23, 9, and 3 with 3 steals and a block. Also a must-roster player. Okay, Phoenix, no Kevin Durant, but he wasn't traded, so he's still there. Royce O'Neal started. We talked about him. If he starts and plays close to 30 minutes, he's probably an add. He had 18, 5, and 1. Nick Richards, 6, and 6 in 21 minutes. I'm going to hold him in a couple of spots, but again, I'm punting a lot of categories, so I really just need rebounds and blocks and efficiency. He was efficient here, only 3 shot attempts. The 6 rebounds are better than nothing if I want to try and stay positive. So I'm going to hold him, but generally speaking, I don't think you need to. Grayson Allen had 3 threes. He is just a 3-point streamer. Tyus Jones, not someone we need to be rostering. Beal had 25 points off the bench. But you bring Durant back into this lineup and it changes everything. For the Thunder, did I say who won? Because the Thunder won 140 to 109. The Phoenix defense is not very good, is it? For the Thunder, Jalen Williams returned, only had to play 26 minutes, 13 points, 4 assists, 2 steals. So not his best night, but very good just to have him back on the court. Honestly, the starters were just not stretched too far. Hartenstein, 26 minutes. He had 9, 4, and 4 with a steal. Shea casually dropping 50 points in 34 minutes. He just continues to be amazing, really. Nothing more to say there. Aaron Wiggins, third decent game in a row, 17 points. No Cason Wallace. He's sort of an ad. Yeah, why not? I'd have him over Lou Dort, I think. He had 4 steals, but at least Wiggins has some upside. Jalen Williams, 12 rebounds. He's just a streamer. That's really it. Isaiah Joe, also a streamer for threes. Alex Caruso had a steal and a block in his 17 minutes. Another streamer for defensive stats. Orlando at Sacramento. Is this the last one? It is. We made it. Magic, much needed win here. After the way they've been playing over Sacramento, disappointing Sacramento. For the Magic, let's start with Goga Badadze. He started. He played 23 minutes. He had 14 and 7 with 2 blocks on 7 of 7 shooting. Signs point to him being the starter and playing 28 minutes. We're not there yet. He didn't play in the last quarter. They didn't need to play him, but I don't think he would have anyway. I think this is all part of the minutes restriction. So I would think maybe within a week he's back to 26. No Jalen Suggs, so Cole Anthony started. He was fine, 14 points, 3 assists, a block. He's a hold, I think, until Suggs is back. Anthony Black also had 15 points off the bench, but I think I'd rather Cole Anthony. Franz and Paolo were both fine without being spectacular. Caldwell Pope, we don't need to be holding him. Jonathan Isaac had 3 steals in 21 minutes. A little much like Caruso, just a defensive stream guy. And Wendell Carter, who, like I said, he's not coming for Goga's job. He had 20 minutes, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. So it's not like he's outplaying him and demanding playing time or anything. So I'm okay to hold him for now if you need to, but we will get to the point where he is a drop, I think. And for Sacramento, Levine, he made his debut and it wasn't great. 13 points, 3 assists, but 31 minutes, he will be fine. First game for a new team who weren't playing well anyway. Keegan Murray, I'm very worried about Keegan Murray here. 6 shot attempts, 30 minutes. I think you can potentially move on. If you want to give him one more game, you could, but it's not pointing to a good end to the season for him. Malik Monk, a lot of questions about Monk. 10 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, 11 shot attempts, 25 minutes. This was foul trouble. Don't stress. I don't think this is a situation where Keon is coming in and taking his role or anything like that. This was purely just the fouls. He didn't foul out, but as coaches do, they rest players or pull them out of the lineup when they're in foul trouble, and then they end up not fouling out anyway. And this is where my concern is with Keon Ellis. So 26 minutes are encouraging, 12 points, 3 assists, a block, but this was with Malik Monk playing 25 minutes. I think Monk will be 32 most nights. Who loses those minutes off the bench? Devin Carter, I suppose, could lose a bit. I just don't know if Keon is going to get to 26 consistently. It's borderline. If you want to add him and see what happens, you could do that. I'm not convinced this is a sign of what's to come just yet, but I could be wrong. I am wrong sometimes. All right, some quick questions, and then I will jump in my car. And not many have come in, so that's good. I think this is where we were up to. So Khalil Ware for Moussa Diabate. Do I think Ware goes to the bench? No, I don't. I think we can stick with Ware. Interesting concept, though. Could they move Bam back into the starting center spot? I don't know. I'd like to think that given that they've sort of invested in Ware now and some time and energy into getting him integrated into that starting lineup, it would make sense for them not to move him out. But, yeah, it is a situation I probably hadn't crossed my mind, to be honest. We'll monitor it, but I don't think so. Shining Knight is wondering whether Saar is better than Suggs. You mean in terms of rankings? I think they're close. I'd probably still have Suggs slightly. Jackson Daniels questioning if I should use my number one waiver ad on Tyus in a 15-team league. Felt like his assists are too valuable left on the wire, but looks like he's trending down. He is trending down, although I don't know how much further he can trend down. Look, yeah, assists are important. In a 15-team league, you're sort of looking at, I mean, I don't know how deep your rosters are, but if they're standard kind of depth, you're probably looking at players top 140 are probably worth holding. Is Tyus inside the top 140? Barely. But those assists do probably add a little asterisk to his value because they can be quite valuable. So I'd say borderline, yeah. Is Achua a hold? He is for now. He is until OG is back. Is Dalton Connect a pickup in a 12 team? I think so. I think if you can take a little risk, he will be inconsistent. We've seen it this season. But if you can take a bit of a risk, I think I'd be looking at him. Drop Alvarado for Diabate. Ooh, very different. Do you need rebounds and blocks, or do you need steals and assists? I'd do it if those big man stats are what you need, then I would do that. Although, as I've said, do remember Hornets could still make moves. Bilal Koulibaly, Khalil Ware, Matis Buzelis, rest of season. Yeah, that's an interesting one, actually. Look, I think Ware has the highest upside. If we're looking purely at upside, so I'd probably go Ware first, and then probably a bit of a toss-up. Maybe you go Buzelis just because we haven't seen from him what he can be. We've seen what Bilal can be, which can be good, but it can be bad as well. And there was one more here, I think, which I skipped over. Oh, yep, another one here from Shining Knight. Would I rather have Saar, Suggs, Buzelis? Blocks would be nice as you are catching up. Well, if you want blocks, you would go Saar or Buzelis. Saar, Buzelis, Suggs, if you want blocks. And I think in terms of who is better there, it's pretty comparable. So, yeah, I think that's fine. All right, I'm going to get out of here. We got there. It was long. Remember to go and find the trade deadline show. I think Dan's tweeted out about it today, and I'll probably do something tonight as well. He's starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, which is 1 a.m. in the morning for me. I am not getting up at 1 a.m., but I'm hoping to be up at 4 a.m. my time, which is about 3 hours before the deadline, maybe 4:30, I might treat myself. So it would be an early start, but go and check it out. There will probably be moves happening. Oh, one more question from Joe Cook very quickly. Drop Grady for Diabate. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think Grady Dick, as I said, well, depends a little bit on when Ingram is going to play. We don't really have word on that, but I would assume he's pretty close. The Pelicans have potentially been holding him out here for a trade. So I think I'm okay with that, assuming Diabate stays as the starting center. Yes, go and find the trade deadline show. Give it a thumbs up. Watch along tomorrow. Bring your coffee, bring your beers, whatever you're going to be doing, whatever time of day it is. I won't have beers, but I might be able to sneak a coffee in. I don't want to wake my family up, but I'll see how I go. I might be able to make it tonight and just bang it in the microwave and heat it up. I'll need something. Thank you, as always, for watching on. A lot of people watching today. I like that. Lots of questions. Good to see. I'm assuming there'll be more people on the trade deadline show. Let me just quickly check that there have been no more moves. I'm sure someone would have dropped something in the chat. Well, what time's Dan got me coming in tomorrow? 6, 10 a.m. to close, 12, 9 a.m. What's he doing? Is this Eastern? 10 a.m. So he's got me coming in at 10 a.m. Eastern. Is that Eastern? Oh, no, maybe that's Pacific. I don't know. Anyway, David Williams will be co-hosting before I get on the show, and then I'll jump in and take over. So, yeah, if you haven't – he's a fun bloke. If you haven't met him, you don't follow him, go and follow him. Check out Dan. He would have tweeted it all out. All right, now I'm going. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Bulls Deep post-game show and trade deadline pre-spectacular, whatever we want to call it. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.